Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we have a special project for you. It's done by the Clarion Project and by a bold woman. Her name is Raheel Rezaei. She is a Muslim, and she makes the case for radical Islam, saying that it does exist, that she doesn't want it part of her religion, that it's a threat to her as well, and that it must be dealt with. You've got to see this, because this is presented in such a way, I do have to let you know that it is a PG. There is some graphic content in what you're about to see, but it allows you to see firsthand, as you see evidence upon evidence of the reality that radical Islam exists and that it is meant to do us harm. Watch this.
Almost every day, we are told that Islamist terrorism has nothing to do with Islam.
Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism.
Al-Qaeda's cause is not Islam. ISIL is not Islamic.
And we are told that Muslims reject the extremists.
The overwhelming majority of Muslims reject that interpretation of Islam. It's very important for us to align ourselves with the 99.9% of Muslims who are looking for the same thing we're looking for.
But is it true that 99.9% of Muslims don't support extremism? What would you say if scientific polls by major research organizations have repeatedly shown a very different picture? I'm Raheel Rezaei. I'm a Sunni Muslim, and for the past 20 years, I've dedicated my life to speaking out against the rising threat of radical Islam.
When there is a disease or a virus, it can't be treated unless you identify the problem. So we have to call it what it is, and it is violent, radical, extremist Islamism.
This is not an easy topic to discuss, but in light of the fact that most of the terrorism in the world today involves Muslims in one way or another, and because it directly affects our lives and security, I think that we need to be able to have an open, honest, and fact-based conversation about that.
Let's be honest. Islam has a problem today. There is a cancer of extremism within Islam today.
This is not a conversation about Islam. It's a conversation about the growing threat of radical Islam and how it affects us all. And that conversation begins now. Our society has evolved to a point where we can have a civilized debate about almost anything. Anything except what may be the most important issue of our time, the rise of radical Islam.
Liberals somehow feel worried that they're going to be called racist if they criticize people of the Muslim faith.
This fear of being called a racist has caused many people to act against their better judgment, and it may have even cost innocent lives.
At least 14 killed, another 17 wounded. It happened in San Bernardino, a city.
In San Bernardino, California, two Muslim terrorists who had pledged allegiance to ISIS killed at least 14 people.
Inside Farouk's house, police found a virtual bomb-making laboratory with smokeless powder and remote-controlled cars.
But a few weeks before the attack, some neighbors apparently noticed suspicious activity but didn't call the police. Why?
That man that we interviewed said he never said anything because he didn't want to be seen as racially profiling.
Did political correctness cost people their lives? It's hard to say for sure, but we do know that it's become harder and harder to speak about these things without being told we are racist.
Freedom of speech, freedom to practice any religion you want without fear of violence. These are liberal principles that liberals applaud for. But then when you say, in the Muslim world, this is what's lacking, then they get upset.
It's an ugly posture.
It's gross. It's racist.
How about the more than a billion people who aren't fanatical, who don't punish women, who just want to go to the store?
Wait a second. Wait a second.
And don't do any of the things you're saying all Muslims.
Wait a second.
Stereotyping.
Wait a second.
And you're painting the whole group religion with that.
No.
Well, I'm a Muslim, and I don't need Ben Affleck defending me and my religion. I appreciate it. But I don't need celebrities defending me from talk show hosts. I need to be defended from the radicals in my own religion who want me dead. radical Islamists who behead people, set people on fire, pour battery acid on women's faces, murder people in the name of my God.
فَقَسَمًا قَسَمًا بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ لَنَدُكَّنَّ أَمْرِيكَ وَبِعُقْرِهَا فِي وَاشِنْطَنْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى.
Radicals who seek to take over the world in the name of my religion.
We need to establish the domination of Islam.
We believe that the Sharia will be implemented worldwide.
سوف تستعيد زعامة العالم.
So let's get real and look at some numbers. Today there are around 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. In fact, Islam is the world's fastest growing religion, and according to Pew Research, it will surpass Christianity this century. Now, obviously, not all Muslims are radical, but a certain percentage are. Sam Harris helps break it down for Ben Affleck and for all of us.
As you say, we have 1.5, 1.6 billion mm-hmm. Muslims.
Now, second biggest religion in the world, a quarter.
Well, Ben, let me unpack this for you.
Please do.
Just imagine some concentric circles here. You have at the center, you have jihadists. These are people who wake up in the morning wanting to kill apostates, wanting to die trying. They believe in paradise. They believe in martyrdom.
That's the first circle of radicals. Violent jihadists like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Hezbollah, Hamas, and various lone wolves. These are the jihadists who murder people in San Bernardino, Texas, Paris, London, Delhi, Jerusalem, Ottawa, Madrid, Nairobi, Boston, and of course New York. These are the horrible bad people, as Ben Affleck said. So how many violent jihadists are there? There are anywhere between 40,000 to 200,000 Muslims involved in fighting for ISIS across the world. That's just ISIS. And it doesn't include the hundreds of thousands of jihadis fighting for Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and other groups. But the thing about terrorism is that it only takes a handful of terrorists to do serious damage and even change the way a society operates.
Explosives hidden in shoes and other improvised bombs are an active ongoing threat.
And with the refugee crisis, the number of ISIS jihadis operating in the West is also set to increase.
The huge numbers are a challenge to security, with many arriving refusing to identify themselves upon arrival in Europe.
This is the ideal situation for ISIS to penetrate several countries in Europe.
And according to reports, the mastermind of the Paris attacks snuck into Europe claiming to be a refugee.
He boasted of being able to travel freely between Europe and Syria.
And while radical Islamists are sneaking into Europe, twice as many British Muslims are fighting for ISIS than are fighting in the British armed forces.
In the gruesome video showing James Foley's murder, many were shocked to hear his executioner speaking with a British accent.
This is James Wright Foley.
America is not immune to this danger.
Today, federal prosecutors say a man trained in Syria returned to the United States to launch a terrorist attack here at home.
According to U.S. Homeland Security, there have been over 122 U.S. terrorist cases involving homegrown violent jihadists since 9/11. Fortunately, many of them have been thwarted by law enforcement. That's the first circle. Murderous, violent jihadists in Europe, in America, and around the world. But what about the next circle outside of them?
Outside of them, we have Islamists. These are people who are just as convinced of martyrdom and paradise and wanting to foist their religion on the rest of humanity, but they want to work within the system. They're not going to blow themselves up on a bus. They want to change governments. They want to use democracy against itself.
Islamists want many of the same things as the jihadists. It's just that their tactics differ. So instead of engaging in terror themselves, they use the political and cultural system to further their aims. Take Gaza, for example. In 2006, Palestinians voted Hamas into power. Hamas is a radical terrorist group that used democracy to gain legitimacy and political power. Also included in this circle are a large percentage of Egyptians who in 2012 elected the Muslim Brotherhood into power.
Egypt has a new president this evening, Mohamed Morsi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood was formed in Cairo in 1928. It's known as the progenitor of modern political Islam and has a stated goal of establishing a global caliphate or Islamic state run in accordance with Sharia law.
Morsi wants to impose Islamic law, limit the rights of women,
his party is not pro-American.
Now, while the Muslim Brotherhood is primarily a political organization, it has spawned many terrorist groups around the world, including Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others. Although distinct from the groups we just described, there is an organization here in North America called CARE, which the Department of Justice said is or was a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. CARE presents itself as a moderate civil rights group representing the interests of Muslims in America. Yet when you look a little closer, many disturbing things start to emerge.
A controversial American Muslim group is facing new charges of ties to Islamic terrorism.
The United Arab Emirates has just listed CARE as a terrorist organization. ISIS and Al-Qaeda are also on that list.
And in the United States, CARE was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in a major terror funding trial. Groups like CARE try to silence people like myself and others who dare to speak out about radical Islam. Case in point, a film that I was in featuring nine women who spoke out against barbaric treatment of women by radical Islamists got shut down.
Why would CARE want to silence this film?
That's what they do. They try to shut down debate by crying Islamophobia, even at Muslims like me. That's the second circle. Now, this next circle is the largest of them all, and this is very disturbing. The Muslims in this circle are certainly not like ISIS, and they're not working to overthrow governments like the Muslim Brotherhood. But they do hold beliefs and practices that no doubt will seem radical to you and me.
They hold views about human rights and about women, about homosexuals, that are deeply troubling.
Who are they? What are their beliefs? In 2013, Pew Research released a comprehensive study based on interviews with thousands of Muslims in 39 countries. It reported that in countries like Afghanistan, Egypt, and Jordan, the vast majority of Muslims surveyed, between 79 to 86%, believe that those who leave the Muslim faith should be executed. Do you know anyone who has left their faith? Do you think they should be executed? Do you think that that's a radical belief? If we were to take the average from all the Muslims surveyed around the world, we end up with an average of 27% who believe that apostates should be executed. 27% of those surveyed, that equals 237 million people. Did you know that 39% of all Muslims in the countries surveyed believe that honor killings can be a justifiable punishment for a woman who has had pre- or extramarital sex? Do you think that's a radical belief? That radical belief is held by over 345 million Muslims. These studies paint a picture of an Islamic world that is increasingly out of step with the modern world. When it comes to support for terrorism and jihad, these are the numbers for young Muslims aged 18 to 29 in Western countries. 42% of French Muslims, 35% of British Muslims, and 26% of American Muslims believe suicide bombings against non-Muslims can be justified. This is the next generation of Muslims speaking. A majority of Muslims surveyed, 53%, said they want Sharia or Islamic law to be the law of the land in Muslim-majority countries. Of those who said they want Sharia to be the law of the land, over 52% said they support whippings and cutting off of hands of thieves. This comes to about 281 million people. Do you think that's a radical belief? And 51% say they're in favor of stoning spouses if they're unfaithful, which equals 289 million people. Of course, not every Muslim believes in these things, but hundreds of millions do. The numbers are right here for all to see. It's time for an honest conversation about one of the most important issues of our time. By silencing the debate about radical Islamist beliefs, we abandon our own core beliefs of truth, free speech and tolerance, and we abandon human rights in favor of political correctness. Together, we have begun the conversation. Now it's time for you to have your say.
Well, those are the facts. I want to thank and applaud Raheel Raza for stepping out and being so bold as she is to say what is the truth. That radical Islam does exist, and there is an agenda. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this, because we can continue to talk about the issue and the problem, but we really need to be talking about is the answer to the problem. And that's what I'm excited about, is what is the answer to this problem? Steve, those are the numbers.
That's the facts.
Those are the numbers, and those are the facts. And thank you for Miss Raza. And what boldness. It's great, because we've been waiting and saying, who is going to speak? If this is not how Muslims feel, there certainly somebody has to say that there's radical Islam. This is not who we are. But she laid the facts out that there's hundreds of millions of radical Islam.
Yeah, and so often we live in the false perception of safety, thinking that everyone in the world has the same Western ideals as we do in America, and we can't take that cookie cutter mindset and think that there's other people that think that way. It's sad, but the world is changing, and it has changed, is to really consider the reality that there are people that wake up every day to think about these types of things. And it's just like, it is disturbing, but at the same time, we have to discuss and realize that these are the facts.
These are the facts. Groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian National Guard, whatever they're called, Al-Qaeda. And then you have organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE that seem to be political, but they inspire a lot of terrorists. You know, and then you can think, okay. And then, of course, you have ISIS. And reports are that ISIS was so violent that Al-Qaeda was saying, you know, you guys can't hang with us, type of thing. And so you're seeing a huge network, if you will, of committed people that are even willing to give their own lives. So the question we got to ask ourselves as Christians is, okay, this is real. Yes, it is happening. Yes, they want to do me in particularly harm, not just America, but they want to do Christians and Jews harm. And so where am I in all of this? You know, do I bury my head in the sand of denial? It's not going to happen to me. It's just, you know, in the Middle East, and this is occasional. Or, you know what, this is only going to happen in a big city. But because I live in small town America, then it can't possibly affect me. Or do we begin to see how can you as an individual make an impact? You know, I think that oftentimes, Steve, people are always looking for a majority, a consensus, a group of people to join together that kind of think like me so that we can do something. And what they find is that consensus never comes together.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous moment, is if you're looking for just simply the crowds. Well, the truth is in the crowds. It's like, no, the truth is in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's where it comes down to.
Yeah. It always is. The answer always is. But the truth is, too, is when you as an individual, you as one person, start to begin to take individual responsibility and understand that, you know what, if it's up to me, it's up to me. You know, oftentimes we're looking for other people and we're counting on them as part of our plan of execution. And the truth is that you have to have your own plan. You have to know what you're going to do. Whether anyone else does anything or not, what are you going to do? And what are your responsibilities before Jesus Christ and Him alone? And the truth is that, you know what? People of God have been facing violent people for a very, very long time. This is not the first time we see persecution. I mean, Nero was literally taking Christians and putting them on a stake in his garden. And reports are is that he would dip Christians in wax, put them in the huge pole in his garden, and then from his window they would light Christians up so that he would have lighting to see his garden. This is the type of evil that was done in you know, to Christians, as far as back as throwing them inside the Colosseum and watching them rip apart with lions. But the question is, did that ever deter those believers from denouncing Christ, or did it deter them from not being bold and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, think about Stephen. Stephen was stoned. He was stoned. But he didn't say, hey, guys, okay, knock it off. I give up. They considered their threats. In fact, you know, scripture says, for God they're crying out for God to give them boldness mm-hmm. in the midst of all this onslaught and all this attack. And we got to make sure that we don't shrink back yeah. in fear.
Well, it's so much of an important to recognize the reality. It's like you hear us so much talk about, you know, a revival and a third great awakening. And, you know, when you're talking about Stephen, that was in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
There were so many miraculous signs and wonders. And it says that the church grew so mightily. And it says in that very chapter, when you're talking about when Stephen was stoned, it was right after him talking about the gospel.
Absolutely.
And people were so offended. And then you looked at, there was a great persecution that came against the church. But when you look at who was birthed in that reality, there was a man named Saul. And when Stephen was stoned, it said that Saul was okay with it. But in that moment, shortly after, he became Paul.
Yeah. The answer is for us not to shrink back, but the mm-hmm. answer is for us to say, you know what?
Be bold.
I am going to share the gospel. I'm going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And if I perish in this life, listen, I am living for the life to come. These are situations that are arising that we're facing every day. Is it really allowing us to evaluate, am I truly living for the things, you know, are they worth what Jesus died for? And this is that moment that we have to answer, what did we do in our generation? Why are you here? We're here to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so we got to do all that we can in the time that we have to do it, even if we have to risk our own lives. Every mm-hmm. single person deserves to know Jesus Christ, even if they're a jihadist. We have to find ways to be able to preach the gospel and to pray, to do the chief thing. And that's what we want to do right now. We invite you and ask you to please pray for us, but we want to take this time to pray for you. Lord, we thank you, God, for, again, the opportunity of being with our viewers, Lord, and being able to shed light and talk about what is happening in the world, Lord, and what is happening with the radical jihad. Father, I pray that you would help us all as believers, Lord, to understand that we are the answer, that we carry the light with us, Lord, and that we can bring the good news, Lord. Help us and remind us, Lord, that we need to take all matters to prayer and that you will give us the strategies, that you will empower us, Lord, with signs, wonders, miracle, and power to preach the good news like never before, and that heaven will be full and that hell will be empty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.